Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Hey! Da-na-na-na. Da-da-da-da. Football.
Playoffs.
Playoffs. Welcome to Sad Boys, NFL Australia. I'm a sad panda. Co-host James Clements. I'm a writer, sometimes, for whoever wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that walking around stuff, that booze money. Here in Larianum Studios, hanging out, chilling, not illing. Got a few tins in me, feeling pretty fucking loose. On the other side of this here iPad, he is a bloke currently pretending he was never an Eagles fan all along. Oh, man, I've always loved Aaron Rodgers, he says. It's sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He is your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Mate, I go all the way back to Brett Favre. Oh, I'm fucking in there. Oh, Pack, go, Pack, go. Yeah, it was a bit of a fucking strange week for my boys in green, wasn't it? Anyway, yeah, it was a fucking crazy week in football, mate. I'm sure we're going to get talked through it.
Yeah, both our teams lose, and we are here to wrap up the Super Wild Card weekend. Yeah, did they lose? Did we score any points before the fucking in the first halves of our games? Anyway, we'll wrap up Super Wild Card for you as best we can, which is suffice to say a bit sad, but with a few tins in us. I'm going to wrap up everything from last week and set you up for the divisional round. That's what we do, all in one dumb drunken NFL Australia package. So let's bloody well get to it. We've got some more coaches fired. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It's going to be fun. All right, episode 44 of NFL Australia. Let's go. Stop it. Stop. 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 They're already dead. Oh, hey, this is every Pats and Eagles fan, and you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, Gaz. Sad boys is what we are. My favourite thing is, look, I don't think NFL Australia has ever been specifically about our fandom of our specific teams. We do enjoy yelling about them a bit more than the other teams. But, you know, it's one of those ones where my team didn't make the playoffs last year. But and that was a bit of a surprise. Well, not really, because we sucked all year. But it was just, you know, just against the grain after a million years of making them. And to be rolled in the... in the wild card round, on the road for the first time in the Belichick era. Just a bit of a strange one, but look, I reckon we've got some good teams remaining, so I'm feeling good. But you said it. What a fucking weird week. So, Super Wild Card weekend. Random thoughts. Right. Joe Judge, he's gone. Literally hours after we posted last week's show.
That's what's crazy. This is literally the oldest news that we have ever said in a week of football, because after last week's episode, I literally went to bed and woke up like and went, ah, shit, we hadn't even posted the episode, Jimmy. And I was like, ah, fuck, we've just given fucking Giants fans shit for 20 minutes about him staying on. Anyway.
Well, I'm pretty sure it had posted overnight, but the news did break probably as it had gone up and gone out
to
the world.
Friend of the show, Zach, audibly let out a fucking sigh of relief.
Love it.
He's just like, Gaz is not going to give me shit. Well, he is, because he's a Giants fan. But Gaz is going to back off for the next couple of weeks anyway.
He was joined by David Culley down there in the Houston Texans.
That was fucking weird.
It was basically some of the least surprising news you could ever imagine, because it felt like he was the world's best paid substitute teacher for a year, basically, right? He's like, hey. So I'm the coach. I'm your coach for this year. Stopped acting up in the back there. Hey, are you allowed to have that in here? Does your normal teacher let you do that kind of vibe? Mike Mayock is gone. The Fakasha, Rick Pakasha, has still got his job at the moment. But this feels very much like a Joe Judge situation where they're still calling him very, very, very specifically interim head coach. But look, I love me the Fakasha. I thought the way that the Raiders played this week was gnarly. All the talk after Saturday's games was that the refs were wilding. That was hilarious. And then we had the Cowboys game as well. That didn't fucking help things. We finally said goodbye to Big Ben. That was, I'll tell you what, a relief. Cowboys, they're getting cooked across all corners of the internet, most of which are being populated by Gaz right now. Joey B, he's just gone. Guess, look at this. He's just thrown his giant wang onto the table and gone, yeah, look at that. That's an elite poon. But he's also an elite fucking QB. I love it. Josh Allen is just going, oh, you like that Joe? Do you remember Joe Montana? Yeah, I'm basically him now. Fuck off. He's so good, he might have basically just caused Bill Belichick to consider retirement a couple of years earlier, I reckon. The Niners are legit, even if Jimmy G looks like he was throwing the game at different points of that one. That was pretty gnarly. The Rams looked a bit terrifying today. Tampa rolled Gaz's Eagles pretty easily. And the NFL wreck and roll fucking idiots, Gaz. I enjoyed this. The report after the game on Whistlegate in Raiders-Bengals was, well, the whistle was after the play. And everybody was like,
we fucking no, heard it, mate.
What? No, it wasn't.
I was there.
We were watching it, you fuckheads. could you be more gaslighting? Nah, the whistle was after it. What are you talking about? You're crazy. It's like, fuck off. Literally everybody saw it while it was happening. There was a whistle thrown on the fucking touchdown throw and you didn't call the play dead. Anyway, so let's get into some game wraps. We'll start there with the Raiders-Bengals. The first game, 26, Bengals win it, Raiders 19. A bit closer than that, though, I'll tell you. One big thing that we asked in the game preview last week, can the Raiders keep it up or is this a Bengals coming out party? It was kind of both, which is weird because it was a bit of a Bengals coming out party, especially early when they sort of looked like they were going to kick the fuck out of the Raiders. And then it turned into a bit of a field goal party, right? So the Raiders have played fucky games all year. We all know that. That's what we've complained about. It's like you just have no fucking clue what's going to happen in any Raiders game beyond that it will be 100% fucky. So it only fits that this came down to a fourth and goal with the final possession for the Raiders and it ends in an interception. Absolute scenes. At the same time, to come out in the wash of this, Derek Carr spikes the ball on that last sequence and costs them a down where you probably should just run a play. Like, the clock doesn't really matter at that point. It's more about the plays. That was weird. What can you do? But look, this entire game was gnarly, especially early on. The Uzuma TD, Trey Hendrickson just stripping Carr. The Bengals steal that touchdown where the whistle is blown. Was it T. Higgins in the end zone? Gaz, were you watching this? Because it felt like everyone sort of stopped there for a split second because they also heard the fucking whistle.
Nah,
but I don't think
I
it impacted
disagree.
The play. I don't think it impacts, though, right?
That's it. It didn't impact the play. Technically, the whistle was blown before he made the catch. However, the distance between him and the nearest defender, the defender didn't have time to react. And even if they did, it was no impact on the play whatsoever. Yeah. Technically, yeah, sure. It should have blown dead. But realistically, if Raiders fans are, they should have just fucking played better defense. Fuck it. It's the same as Giants fans. Oh, I can't believe I found another reason to pick on Giants fans. It's the same as Giants fans picking on the Eagles for not making the playoffs last year. Win more fucking games.
That's a good point. It was Tyler
Play
Boyd.
Play tighter defense and put up more points.
Sorry, Tyler Boyd, not Higgins. I remember that. Yeah. But then, I mean, the Raiders got one back, right? Like just before halftime in like a really good sequence by the Raiders, and you're like, oh shit, we might have a bit of a game here because I think it was the Zay Jones one just before halftime. So it's 20-13 going in, and then it's just field goals after that. It's nothing but field goals. It's like, I think, four field goals, and it's a shit ton of field goals in this entire game, really. But as we've sort of found out, the Bengals held strong down the stretch. They get the interception on the very last play, fourth and goal. It's a weird combination of the Bengals keeping the lid on everything, their offense not being able to blow the top off it, and just sort of eking out the win and ending a 31-year playoff drought, which is crazy. Meanwhile, the Raiders haven't won since 2002, which is pretty funny now. But there you go. I mean, the Bengals will take it, obviously. It's good to see Zach Taylor going to a bunch of different bars around the city giving out game balls, some of the players giving out game balls to bars. I love that. Here for it. But Joey B.
Did it not feel, Jimmy? Did it not feel, though, right? After, there's some ridiculous stat this year. Oh, there's a fucking hole, but this was the week of stats because there's so much crazy shit happened. But the Raiders played more regular season snaps than any team in the history of the NFL because of 17 regular season games, but also on top of that, because of how many overtimes they had.
Yep.
Did it not feel down by 7 with the ball in Carr's hands, you're like, this is going fucking overtime.
100% it felt like it was going
this
overtime.
This is going overtime.
So,
yeah.
I had the Raiders in our picks last week as well. And as we're going into that last that last possession by the Raiders, I'm like, they're going to tie this and I'm still going to end up with the pick because like the Bengals will win it by like a field goal and off we go.
Field goal, yep.
But either way, like McPherson, their kicker, I think that's the most field goals by a rookie in a playoff game ever, which is awesome. Shit ton of field goals in general, as mentioned. But it was a weird game. Turns out it was like probably one of the more fun close games of the weekend, obviously. And I mean, it was kind of cool. It's just good to see Joey B step up in his second year. Half of his rookie year he misses because of his knee injury. Comes out, leads the Cincinnati Bengals to the fucking promised land, a.k.a. a playoff win for the first time in 3 decades. That's gnarly. Not so gnarly. Oh, God. The Bills, Pats. Fuck. 47-17. Wasn't even that close. Tell you what. So the one big thing I asked on... was it last week's show? This is the third time these have played. Did the Bills break the Pats or does Bill Belichick still own McDermott? That is a resounding, the Bills broke the Pats, I think, Gaz. Oh, God. So here we go. The first 10 plays of this game, Gaz. Buffalo, 70-yard drive for a touchdown. New England interception. Buffalo, 80 yards for a touchdown. New England, 3 and out. Buffalo, 81-yard touchdown. Are you sensing a theme? New England punt. Buffalo, 89-yard touchdown. New England field goal. Hooray, we scored. New England interception. Buffalo, 58 yards for a touchdown. They were the first team to score a touchdown on the first 5 drives in 21st century, which is kind of cool. They're the first NFL team ever to go an entire game without punting, kicking a field goal, or turning the ball over because all 7 of their possessions, guys, that they had ended in a touchdown.
I don't want to throw another stat at you on top of that, Jimmy, because I know you're going through enough pain as it is, but I will listen to the Around the NFL.
Wait, I didn't bring any
today.
Fucking Eagle stats here, you bastard. You're killing me.
So, in terms of efficiency, the Bills put up a total of that 480 yards that they put up as total offense was literally the most that they could have put up. It is literally 100% the most efficient because they couldn't have gone any further. So they had the perfect game. On top of that, what we can add is the previous game against you guys where I posted this on the NFL Australia Insta, but 2 field goals, a turnover on downs, and 2 knees. Every other drive has been a touchdown, Jimmy, in 2 games against Bill Belichick's defense.
Oh,
and
God.
This is the first time. So last week, I believe, was the first time Bill Belichick's defense had not forced a team to punt in his entire career. And the same thing happened today.
Yeah, this was the second.
Never happened, and then twice in 2 games.
I'll throw another one at you. Josh Allen had more touchdown passes than he did incompletions in this game.
There you go.
He completed 21 of 25. 5 TDs, unfucking believable. This was brutal. This was grim. This was just absolutely fucking inevitable. It felt like, especially so, I kind of mentioned this last week, and I talked about it on Pat Strayer, because this defense has been sketchy as fuck. You know that I wasn't wildly confident about it going in, and this is why there was no speed. And this is like a weird thing that I remember going all the way back to literally the Dolphins' loss in week 1. And that was just, they looked slow in that game. And it was like weird to watch the offense just sort of be so snappy, quick moving, off they go. While that, like, this is the Miami offense in like week 1. And our defense just was like well behind the 8 ball. It felt exactly the same way in this game, like fucking 19 weeks later. And I hated every second of that because of it. Because, I mean, that first drive was awesome. Like, don't get me wrong, Josh Allen was incredible. It looked sick with like the white fucking clouds breath. It was awesome. It was so fucking cold. But this is the thing, when it's that cold, I mean, it's weird because if it's not windy, it doesn't really seem to matter as much. Like, it's just fucking cold. But when there's wind, it's like, oh, so this is how I die. When it's not windy, you're just like, fuck, it's cold out. And like, it's kind of neat. As long as you're rugged up, you're all right. But the wind will just fuck you.
And if you're Mac, you sit there on the sidelines just watching your breath for 45 minutes.
Getting hugged by Hunter Henry at the end, which was very cute. It's like, just wrap him up. But either way, look, this is it. Like, so the defense was fucked the last 5 weeks. This is what happens. But really, this game turns like straight away when Micah Hyde gets that insane interception. Like, we drove straight down the field. It was fucking awesome. Mac had a beautiful throw into the end zone. And Micah Hyde came out of fucking nowhere and took an amazing catch as an interception. Yep. And it's like, oh, fuck. And it did not get any better from there. Like, they were cooking. They were absolutely cooking. Like, was it two Dawson Knox touchdowns in the first quarter?
Yeah.
They just kept it rolling from there. Then the run game kicked in and it's just like, fuck, we've got no hope. There was a point where you're like, oh, we're still in this. And then he makes like the massive digs throw. Just a giant bomb, then the giant bomb to the fucking end zone. Singletary, like, runs in two touchdowns. It was over. Like, Mac wasn't even that bad. I feel like the interceptions that he had, the Hyde one was just brutal, and then the other one was tipped. And you're like, it's pretty bad luck for the most part. He didn't look horrible. Obviously, they don't wildly trust him, but our running backs couldn't do much either. But to be honest, like, this is all the Bills. Like, Josh Allen looked like fucking the world's greatest
QB. Seeing him
amble
down the fucking field and, like, juke defenders, right? When they're up, and he's just like still just taking off.
Yeah.
Right? He's still, like, holy shit.
He still ran for 66 yards, and it's like, in this game, like, bro, you could probably just chill out a bit now. Like, I'm just saying. And that's kind of how this, like, you know, you got the dildos on the field. We got, like, was it Kendrick Bourne?
That's fucking great.
I think Kendrick Bourne got the touchdown. And it's like, wait, there's a flag. Ah, oh, it's a dildo.
It's a dildo.
You absolute fucking savages, Buffalo. Get some fucking self-respect, I tell you. No, I fucking love it. Good on him. Look, I can't hold it against the Bills. They were just fucking incredible in this game. And there you go. So off we go, and on they go to take on KC.
I think that, look, and they'll touch it on this a whole bunch in some of these game wraps. But what is also fucking ridiculous about this week is the complete overreactions from fan bases after, you know, a seventh, like a wild card who was picked, there was number seven, and then all of a sudden they lose. It's like, ah, we got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The calls from, Mac, he's cooked, mate. Belichick's already talking about sacking him and moving on and trading for Jimmy G and all this. I think, settle down.
To be honest, I think a lot of the Pats reaction's been pretty muted from what I've seen to the point where it's like, yeah, I think everybody was pretty, like, circumspect about the D.
Yeah.
And so when it all did fall apart, the problem was it fell apart in just such spectacular fashion. Like, and the fact that, like, oh, it's a Belichick defense, it'll hold up anyway. It's like, not if he's got no one any good. Like, I think I went through the injuries on Pat Strayer, and it's like, who the fuck's going to play? Like, holy. And then you watch them and you're like, yeah, the speed just isn't there. And I mean, this has been the problem for, as I said, like 5-6 weeks. Can't get to anybody. Can't pressure anybody, can't stop the run, can't do anything. So it's how it goes. I mean, it's getting a bit old. You've got McCourty's, you've got Collins's, and it's just like, it's a bit much now. So
I think between both of our teams, there's going to be a few players who played this weekend who won't be back next year. So
speaking of which, your team.
Speaking of which, let's move on. Eagles, 15. Bucks, 31.
I need a beer after my sad boy.
We launched, as Jimmy referred to Pat's Strayer last week. We also launched Eagles Strayer. So I did a preview and have already done a fucking autopsy video of that thing, and it wasn't fucking great, Jimmy. I'm not going to lie. Look,
you might notice I didn't do an autopsy video because I was just waiting for this show just to be sad, and now I'm done.
I feel like I've already fucking pulled this apart ad nauseum. Before the game, I touched on a couple of key points that for us to have any fucking chance, and we didn't deliver on any of them. So look, the 15-31 scoreline actually really fucking flatters the Eagles. In an unsurprising turn of events, as we have done for the last 6 weeks, and even when we lost, making scores respectable by garbage time points. So the Eagles put up 15 points in the last quarter. 15-0 in the last quarter, Jimmy. It was 31-0 at a certain point. And Tom Brady was just on the sidelines having fun. But look, no playoff Lenny. No AB. No Godwin. No Rojo. No fucking problems, mate. Mike Evans was just moved all around. He was just moved all around the place. He was already winning matchups with Big Play Slay. Just, he fucking turned him inside out. But then they moved him into the slot against Avante Maddox. And he had looked on the field like he had about 6 foot on him. And it was just never going to happen. But Vaughn came in. So Gio Bernard came back off IR and Vaughn, like, first play of the game, gassed straight up the middle for like 17 yards. And you're like, oh, this is not going to be great. Look, they marched down the field, got in there. Brady was slightly off target to start the game, if I'm going to pick something out of it. But it really wasn't that. It was the fact that he was just out of sync with new receivers. So he still marched down the field and got in the end zone. We, starting slow, straight into a three and out. And then they marched down the field again and it was double figure lead before you could even fucking blink. Couple of things for the Eagles though. It was Hurts' worst game in a long time. If I discount that Giants game, which was just fucking weird. And Nicky Sriracha's play calling was just fucking out of control because a number of reasons. The key one is that it was well and truly into the second half before Devontae Smith was even targeted. That's fucking crazy. And then the decision-making from Jalen Hurts when guys were running, like, were open. It was fucking clear. But we definitely had that run first impression, and that Todd Bowles guy, he can fucking dial up a defense. Mm. As Patty Mahomes found out, Pat's mum, Patrick Mahomes found out in last year's Super Bowl, they got Lavonte David back. They were playing men in the box, like from word go, but there were some really fucking creative pressures coming. They were blitzing two safeties and dropping nose tackle Vita Vey in coverage. Like, it was fucking weird, but Hurts had no idea where to go, and it kept him on his toes. Unfortunately, like Nicky Sriracha's done all season, made the adjustments at halftime. The game was fucking over at halftime. So, anyway, there's a lot of assessment to do for the rest of this year, but the Bucks have got to feel quite happy with themselves and what they were able to do the Eagles' run game, and the fact that they seemed a lot healthier on defense.
Yep. It's a good one. This was it was a fun one. Like, you're talking about Todd Bowles. It's like, yeah, one of those guys where you question amazing coordinator, don't know how he goes as a head coach, but at the same time, it's like a head coach of the Jets.
It didn't go well. Like, spoiler.
Like, when's it going to fucking work well for, like, coaching the Jets for fucking literally anybody, right? So,
yeah.
But this was a classic one because this is myself watching it with the squid. He's like, Dad, who's winning? The Pirates or the Angry Birds? I'm like, it's the Pirates, buddy. It's always going to be the Pirates. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, that was a funny one. It was a good one. It was a fun, like, I don't know, like, those Eagles stuff, like, that's, as you said, the fourth quarter. It was just, it's kind of nice. Like, it's the salve. You're like, oh, at least we've got some points. And, like, the Pats did exactly the same thing. And you're like, I don't feel any better. Like, I know just how much we got our fucking ass kicked, but having over 10 points feels okay, you know? It's not the end of the world because at least we got some of them.
I'm not going to lie, right? I saw, you know, Mac march down the field for you guys and, yes, there was the interception and I saw how, you know, obviously you just got slammed. But I also saw how for three quarters we played just fucking horrendous and couldn't do anything. But at the end of the game, I still walked away going, at least the point differential was less than the Pats game.
Well, if they played this for six quarters, you guys might have won it. If we played it for six quarters, they would have beat us 150 to fucking 17. Anyway.
It's fucking true.
Next game.
Anyway, so I went through a lot of pain and was really cursing getting up at 5 a.m. Jimmy, let me just tell you this. Within 3 hours after the Eagles, her game was completed, I was a much fucking happier dude. And I've been enjoying the last 24 hours ever since. Because, ladies and gentlemen, my next game, San Francisco 49ers 23, Dallas Cowboys 17. Wow, Jimmy. Just fucking wow. What a ridiculous fucking game of football. This Mate, this could have been, I don't know, Jags-Jets with all the fucking crazy shit that just happened that you're like, surely a professional football team's not going to do that, right? It's just, that's not what happens. That's not what happens in the playoffs. Anyway, the Niners showed up. They jumped fucking hard out of the blocks. And it was a 10-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. And all of a sudden, these fucking Cowboys fans were, what the fuck's happening at home? We just kicked the shit out of the Eagles last week. We just kicked the shit out of the Washington football team 2 weeks ago. To be honest, the Cowboys were only in the game as long as they were because the Niners kept putting up field goals and not kicking, pulling away. But still, it was 23-7 in the third before the 49ers offense just kind of stopped. As they've been wanting to do, right? They're a first half team. Do it. You got, you know, Ayuk, Samuel, they're all killing it. Mitchell got in the end zone early, got slimed because of Nickelodeon TV, all that sort of shit. But a fourth quarter pick by Jimmy G, let him fucking back in it. All they had to do was end that game. It was at that point, I think it was 23-10. Cowboys got in the end zone, and all of a sudden, they're putting up 10 unanswered points in that fourth quarter to make somehow a game of it. Anyway, the Niners get the ball. Let's just talk about the last fucking 3 minutes of this ridiculous shit show. The Niners get the ball. What appears to be a first down. The refs go, nah, we should probably fucking, that should probably have had a look at it. And it's called inches. And of course, all right, inches where it is. Jimmy G, the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady school of quarterback sneaks, gonna go for it. Didn't wait to get set. The guy on the end of the line rushes through, makes it. Everyone's like, fucking game over. Hang on, flag thrown. Let's pull that back 5 yards. Oh, we can't go for it from there. We got to punt it. We're going to punt it back to the Cowboys with no timeouts to march down the field. And I'm like, oh, get fucked. I was more nervous on the last drive of this game, Jimmy, than I was at any point during the Eagles fucking Tampa Bay. Because I'm like, this, it's our year shit from the Cowboys. Has to end today. Anyway, so they march down the field, right? Get within. The commentators go, they're just going to get in within field goal range. They're like, the 49ers weren't protecting the sidelines. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? They're marching down the field. And all of a sudden, we've got 14 seconds left, Jimmy. A fucking quarterback delay. Straight up the guts. Where Dak Prescott slides, leaves it too late. They stand up, try and rush one more play. The umpire is too far behind. Can't get between that big Dallas Cowboys offensive line. Finally touches the ball to set it. No time left. Clock expires. Everyone's standing around going, the fuck just happened?
The game is over.
Mike McCarthy's going, oh, you got to review it. There's like 1 or 2 seconds. And Dak's like, fuck, I got 1 or 2 seconds. And the fucking Niners are like, see ya. We're out. Fucking crazy. The 3 minutes of bullshit of the Cowboys offense not stepping up for three quarters. The mismanagement of the clock. And what do Cowboys fans do, Jimmy? Throw rubbish at the umpires on their way out, which also happened to be the same dugout that the fucking, or the same tunnel that the Cowboys, the Cowboys were walking up. So Dak Prescott starts hurling it at the fans in the press conference saying, don't they know how hard we work, Jimmy? Don't they know what we put in? And then the reporter goes, actually, they weren't kind of booing you. They were booing the umpires. Oh, yeah. Well, more credit to them then. That's fine. That's fine, Jimmy. It was such a fucking weird way. And then the last 24 hours of absolute vitriol from fucking Cowboys fans of, Dak will never be elite. He's not quite elite, but he's definitely not 40 mil. Fucking Zeke's falling off a cliff. We're playing 20 mil to fucking Coop to be a wide receiver too. None of them step up. Fucking Kellen can't call a game. Mike McCarthy's got to go. Fucking, it's just out of control. It's like I've never seen a firm turn on their own so fucking quickly. It's been a great day to bond with Eagle Strayer.
I was going to say, you're not like just delighting in it at all. CD Lamb wasn't like even like he didn't have a catch until like the fourth quarter or whatever.
I think he had one catch for 20 yards.
It's fucking crazy. It was like a good catch that he had late too. But this, like, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like with that last drive by the Cowboys, the fact that San Francisco weren't just going, see that open field in the middle? All yours, mate. And then they belatedly fucking realize it, and that's what brought the Dak run on, right? They're just like,
yeah.
Oh, no, fucking run away, son. Like, just go nuts.
Yeah.
And boom, he went too far. Pretty funny. Pretty funny. Yeah. But the crazy part is, like, it always comes with a Jimmy G just fucking backbreaking pick, doesn't it? Always. Yeah. Every San Francisco game, he's going to try to give you the game. And the Cowboys are like, nah, we're good. We don't really want to win this one. He tried time and time again in that second half. As I said, it looked like he was fucking throwing it at times. It's like, is he like Jerry Jones's mole? Like, what the fuck is happening here? This is incredible. Anyway, still love him, but Jesus, handsome Jimmy G. What are you doing?
Yep.
Right, my last one, Chiefs. Steelers 42-21. One big thing, how much will KC win by? Turns out they doubled him up, 42-21. I love that score line. It's very easy. It's very clean. How many touchdowns do you have? Well, the exact amount that we need, 42-21. It's beautiful. TJ Watt scored the first touchdown. This is a weird game, though. Like, it was very strange, right? Like, where no one scored for ages. TJ Watt scores the first touchdown of the game in the second quarter. It's just ineptitude after ineptitude before and after that. It's like three and outs, punts everywhere. Just a million possessions. It was like Pittsburgh's seventh fucking possession of the game, like in the second quarter. You're like, what is happening? But then the Chiefs just went, right. No, that's okay. I get it. The Steelers suck. Off we go. Boom. So it was 7-0 to Pittsburgh, and then it was not. It was 21-0 in like no fucking time. There was like a great touchdown to Pringle, an amazing throw on a third and long where Mahomes scrambles enough. Kelce just breaks free. And he hits him for a 40-yard touchdown. It was incredible. And, yeah, 21-7 at the half. It was crazy. Like, the Steelers couldn't even burn enough clock before the half. They didn't want to give the ball back to KC. They couldn't get a first down. They gave the ball back to KC. And guess what happened, Gaz? They scored. It was fucking hilarious. I love it. And that was kind of it, right? McKinnon, he was huge all game. He ends up with, like, 142 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. I think he had the shovel pass. I think it was him. Anyway, but they just kept it rolling. Like a couple of Pittsburgh extra fucking touchdowns in there, whatever. Really nice one to James Washington, to be honest, for Ben's final touchdown. But Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns in 10 minutes 30 of game time, Gaz.
Jesus.
That's the fastest in postseason history, so not a surprise there because it's only 10 minutes, and he threw 5 fucking touchdowns, Gaz. That's how you win a game. That's how you win a game in the playoffs.
That is how you win a game.
And they ran out of fireworks, so which I think is bullshit. I mean, it's only 42 points. How are you running out of fucking fireworks here, KC? I will talk about that again later.
The sign was fucking classic, though.
It was.
Sorry, guys. The on the screen, if you can look that up, because we're not visual.
Yeah, I can talk about that in a second anyway. But the Steelers, I mean, this was... People have talked about this all week. Oh, why was it even 7 teams? The 7th teams was shit. It's like, yeah, who cares? This is fucking awesome football. And, like, Pittsburgh never really... Like, when they sort of gummed up the game, made it a bit of a shit show, you're like, well, maybe there's... And then you'd see Ben just, like, with the ball in his hand, like, pump fake his own running back out. Or, like, pump fake himself out. You're like, and stand in the pocket for, like, an extra... 2 seconds and then get like brought down almost. And you're like, yeah, they're going to fucking kick the shit out of him. Cause I had like, you know, I had the over bet and I'm like, I was a bit worried. And you know, what's the classic meme? I'm not going to lie. In the first half, they had me.
Yep.
And then I think it was like by the third or fourth minute of the second half, the over had already hit. And I'm like, oh, laughing. All right. That's right. My baby needs some new shoes. We're going to get some. It's going to be all right. And they kicked the fuck out of him. It was pretty nice. And, like, the fact that the Steelers kept playing all the way through to the end just because trying to get Ben one more touchdown, which is kind of nice. It was kind of neat just to see an old warrior go out still swinging. But at the same time, he probably should have given up a couple of years ago because it was also kind of a bit sad. So, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It is definitely the first time I've heard, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the quote from Big Ben this week of, we're going to get shit kicked out of us. Let's just go there and have fun, right? Like, that is, I've never heard that in a fucking playoff game. And you would only, that's only acceptable when you're the seventh seed and you know it's your last game ever.
Well, right? Also, you got Mike Tomlin before the game going, we need motherfuckers to chop their eyelids off because no one's going to blink out here. We don't want motherfuckers who can blink. I'm like, I didn't know I could love Mike Tomlin more.
Yeah.
But I do. Boom.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers ain't going to blink in this team because I'm going to chop off their fucking eyelids. What a nutter. I love it. Anyway, last game.
One game. So, Jimmy, bit of backstory on this one. I had a meeting, a conference call at the beginning of this fucking, when this game started. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do this thing. I'm going to kick these guys off the call and I'm going to rush back and watch the beginning of the game. I turned it on and saw the score. Didn't fucking bother. let's just say, Cardinals 11 at Rams 34. What I mentioned about when I turned the game on, it was 21-0 real fucking quick, Jimmy. Look, the Rams came to play on both sides of the balls and both of them. And the Cards just fucking weren't. It was over at halftime. Added to that one more score in a third and it was 28-0 before the Cards scored. When you look at out, the Eagles were kind of expected to get our ass kicked. If the Bills are going to play like that against the Pats, you'd expect it. But I think we all expected a bit of a more of a showing of this one. Stafford won his first playoff game in his career. First season with the Rams. but that part of it was they didn't expect him to shoot the lights out. He was a nice and efficient 13 of 17, 202, two touchdowns, passing and one scrambling. Kyler, though, about tough scenes in Jimmy's world. 137 yards on 34 attempts, Jimmy. two picks, but I think the best one out of those was the three-yard pick six when he's just trying to escape a...
safety.
A safety. Now, I don't know if you're already good at maths, Jimmy. But
but avoiding giving up 2 points is actually probably not as bad as giving up seven.
He was in peak mid-season Carson Wentz form right there.
Is that the math magician stuff I have to do? I'm no math scientist, but I think seven is worse than two when you're giving it up.
Mate, even on the ground, they could do sweet FA. Between Edmonds, Connor, and Kyler, they combined for 60 yards. Combined. Look, the Rams were definitely feeling themselves. They even busted out. Like, you know, after halftime, you're kind of in that vibe when you hand it over to OBJ to just let loose on a 40-yard bomb to Cam Akers down the... Was it Cam Akers? Down the sidelines.
Yep.
Anyway, they got to be happy with themselves going into a big matchup next week. It's a battle of the teams who kicked the shit out of the fucking wildcards.
It was... that was a great throw, actually, by OBJ as well, right?
Yeah, to Akers. It was good.
Like, Akers had just... snap three and like it just fell into his arms. It was beautiful. And
there
what was it?
Well, there was they interviewed Akers after the game and asked him about that pass. And I think his quote was, oh, I could have led me a little bit more.
the vibe though for the Cards, I think they had something like -3 yards of offense in the first half, I think it was, which was just brutal. But yeah, like even old mate was in the living room just as the Kyler Murray pick six happened. And she's like, that's bad, isn't it? I'm like, yes, it's pretty bad. Like, to avoid a safety and instead throw a pick six, it's pretty bad. it looks so bad. You've got the Hail Murray, and this is like the opposite. So.
Yeah, well, I think it's got to be the shortest pick six.
I think in postseason history.
In playoff history, so
is that the Fail Murray? Is that how it goes? Anyway.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Nice one. So that leaves us with the AFC. We've got the Bengals versus the Titans, the one seed, and the Chiefs hosting the Bills in probably the tastiest matchup we can remember. NFC, you've got Niners Packers, which is no slouch itself, and again, Rams TB. I love a good Tampa Bay versus the LA Rams. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Nice one. So let's do some nahs. What do you reckon, guys? Sound good?
All right.
Right let's after this. All right, guys. I will tell you what. The nahs are brought to you by Manscaped. Our mates over at Manscaped. You know what's coming up soon? Oh, geez. Super Bowl. You know it's the same day as Super Bowl? Valentino's Day. That's right. Cupid works pretty hard in Feb, but our mates over at Manscaped are working harder than ever to ensure your Valentine's Day and Super Bowl. One to remember, don't turn this day of romance into Independence Day this year and get in control with their Performance Package 4.0, which includes their signature lawnmower 4.0. Oh, my God, it's a good one. So this Feb, you can join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with their exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com, use the code STRAY, get 20% off and free shipping. And I'll tell you what, contrary to popular belief, love is not blind and nor are we all one-eyed when it comes to the older, well, you've got one eye that you can use down there.
One-eyed trouser snake.
Boom. Either way, the Performance Package 4.0, I love it. It'll give you more dating app notifications than Cupid's got arrows. It'll be ping, ping, those ones. What do you reckon? That's a good one. But either way, inside the Performance Package, you got the Lawnmower 4.0. That's the trimmer we talk about all the time here, right? So you got the advanced skin safe technology. It's just like this house, no nicks. That's what it's all about. No bloody nicks. You got the light. I absolutely love that. And a bit of waterproofness. Love that. You've got the, what else you got? You got the ball sprucer uppera, which is the toner. You've got the crop reviver, which is like a deodorant, which is awesome. And you've also got like the shed is what they call it, which is a really nice travel case. I'll tell you that much. It's much better than the other one I had. So feeling good about that. So Manscaped's got you covered this Valentine's Day. Why don't you just get one? And then in a surprise for your beloved, just carve their initials into your underdacks and off you go. So get right into it. Manscaped.com. You can't buy love, but you can buy a clean pair of smooth balls. So 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAY at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off. And free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code STRAYA. Help tame that love jungle you got down there in your pants with Manscaped. All right, Gaz. Yeah, Nas, let's do it. What do you reckon?
All right. I'll ask you. I'm gonna lead you first. I'm not first at anything, but I'm going to lead you first. AFC losers. We've talked enough about the winners. Let's get in some of those losers. Let's start with, should the Raiders keep the focaccia? See the guy moving forward, Jimmy?
To be honest, the way they fought, like, don't you feel this way, right? Like, the way that the Raiders fought and fought and fought after their just fucking year of absolute bullshit. A wide receiver who kills a lady. A coach who, like, fucking gets fired for being wildly racist, homophobic, and misogynist. And is, like, dropping, like, weird shit on, like, the fucking commissioner. The way that the Fakasha comes in and goes, all right, fuckheads, come on. I love you. I love you. It's all right, give me a hug. I love you. And they all just sort of responded, didn't
rallied
they?
Rallied around like, him, yep.
I mean, the questions for me for the Raiders is like, you keep the Fakasha, you've gotten rid of Mike Mayock. That's been a bit of a shit show. He was a Gruden guy anyway. What do? Do you keep him? Do you bring in a GM who, like, loves him? Or do you just start afresh? Do you even maybe think about the Las Vegas Rusty Wilson's, what can he do? How's it going to work? But I think he engendered so much goodwill. Like, you maybe give him another year and see how it goes, right? Like, I don't know if that's treading water, and I don't really like treading water in the NFL, but it can also be a development year because you made the playoffs. Can you make this team better next year? What do you reckon? So,
yeah, I would look, say, it's, yeah, it's nah, always tough.
Yeah, nah, yeah, maybe. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's always tough because there was, they were riding on so much fucking emotion, right? Mm. Like, that's the thing, and it's going to be deflating when you've gone all that way and then you're just like, drop out.
Yeah, to be honest, I'd usually say with an interim who overachieves, it's probably best to go full-blown coach search and see if we actually still think that this is the guy. Actually, act like you're not going to rehire him, try to figure out if he, what he brings to the table really helps you next year.
Getting to put in, yeah.
Because there's so many times, like, an interim, like, is like, yes, he came in, he kicked some ass, and off we go. And then the next year it falls apart. It's like, oh, how could we have seen this coming? It's like, I don't know, because of, you rode a wave last year. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
How about I give you an NFC loser here as well?
All right.
So I'll do the AFC losers. You can do the NFC losers. This one's yours. Do the Eagles stick with Jalen Hurts or do they go big game hunting? What happens here, Gaz? You got three first rounders. Do you stick with Hurts? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, no, stick with Hurts. He showed development. Look, guys, I'm listening to podcasts this afternoon and talking about, you know, not to this extent, but some of the question marks on Josh Allen after year one. I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts is going to be that, but he's really had a season plus four games of starting in it. He came on in a tumultuous time, and the weapons, yes, we've got Devontae, but a lot of missed picks around him. So, look, I think we have way too many holes on the defense to waste three picks pulling in Rusty and not being able to keep up the other side of the ball.
Sure.
Right? We've got a lot of gaps there. I would prefer to use one of those picks to maybe go after someone like an A-Rob, Allen Robinson or a Calvin Ridley to put on the other side and then say, all right, Hurts, you've got no escape now. You've got Dallas Goedert and you've got two outside receivers and Quez in the slot and a good offensive line. No excuses now, and give him that 1 year. And there's a bit of a noise out there that says use those three picks to bring in Deshaun Watson. The last fucking dude I want on my team is Deshaun Watson, because this is only football. We talked about this ad nauseum when it happened, but this is football. I want to be able to say to my kids, or if I was ever to have them, that I want to support the culture of this team, and someone having that stuff hanging over their head and giving your future away to bring the talent into just proves, just says to you that you're winning first and the culture doesn't matter.
Well, I guess you could always see if the Vikings want to trade Jalen Reagor for Justin Jefferson. I mean, seems fair.
Fuck,
right?
I am so glad that you went that direction with Reagor and Jefferson, because we're talking quarterbacks and I thought you were going to have the fucking balls, Jimmy, to float the idea of the Eagles trading for Kirk Cousins. And I would
I was just giving you shit about the Reagor pick again, but anyway.
Oh, that's like that can't hurt me anymore. Reagor, that dropped that muffed punt was the fucking done me.
Oh god.
Anyway. So no, I thought you were gonna get fucking Kirk Cousins over to the Eagles, and I would be handing in everything midnight green if we gave up a fucking cent for that guy. Anyway, moving on. Well, you've just jabbed me in the heart. Your Pats, mate. You picked them early as a dark horse. You picked them early in the season as a playoff team. And I doubted you all the way. But they snuck through and got humiliated. Are the Pats going to be okay, Jimmy? They're going to be okay, won't they?
Yeah, nah. I mean, I think they'll be okay. I mean, we've got the six Super Bowls. So the rings are there.
Ah!
Rings are forever, Gaz. Rings are forever.
Ah!
Look, I think this is a tricky one. I think this is like one of those weird combo talent drains, aging sort of core transition sort of things where, look, I felt pretty like ambivalent going into this season. You'll remember from the start of the season, right? Like,
yeah.
I didn't have like wildly high hopes for the year because rookie QB, even though we spent a shit ton of money in the offseason, it was kind of like they're all 4-year deals where it's kind of like, yeah, we'll see how it goes. And it went pretty bloody well. The problem was we peaked in November. It's like, that's not when they play the Super Bowl, unfortunately. So, but I think, look, we'll be okay. Mac Jones, a year better next year. More time to hang out with Josh McDaniels, and off we go. Bill maybe gets a bit of a chance to sort of remake this defense a bit. But in terms of the talent drain and shit, like, you see, like, some dudes like Brian Flores head off and have really massive success in Miami, whatever. Bill O'Brien going to the Tech. Nah, that's a joke. But
Joe Judge
is he's off. Like, we could get him back, bring him back into the fold. But instead, we've got like Bill Belichick's kids basically running the organization at this point. So it's a bit of a worry. But I think this will be the sort of off season where you see a bunch of big names, big Pat's names, sort of just gone. Oh yeah, they cut blah. They cut blah blah blah. They cut blah blah blah. They ate the money on this contract and they moved on from this guy. And it's going to suck. It's going to hurt because they're going to be big, famous Pats names and I'm going to hate it. But I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sanguine about it all. I think they'll be all right. And I think if they come back a bit quicker, a bit better next year, maybe if they just get one fucking half-decent wide receiver target, I'd be kind of happy for Mac as well. And, I mean, Pats fans are always – that's literally the fucking constant siren call after Randy Moss, basically, right? It's like, can we go get blah, 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 X fucking wide receiver one from other team, insert here, and instead we spend our years with N'Keal Harry and Kendrick Bourne. And it's like, you know, they've been good this year, but it's just not quite enough. So anyway, the Pats will be all right. They'll be fine. I'll probably go into next year thinking pretty much what I thought this year, right? Like, you just want to see development and hopefully make the playoffs. And
that's it.
That'll be a bigger step up than what I thought.
Both with rookie quarterback, you with a rookie quarterback and us going through a full rebuild, you got to think that sneaking through into a 17 playoff is we're ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
You got to assume.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
Next NFC loser for you, the Cowboys. Oh, Gaz. They can't blame. Look. This ref blaming shit is fucking hilarious. They got no one to blame but themselves, right? 14 penalties. So, like, none of them were like, oh, that wasn't a penalty. Like, so, like, they were all basically, like, completely guaranteed bang on penalties. They're building a fucking stadium where the sun is shining in their own eyes when they're playing. Like, what the fuck? They got no one to blame but themselves.
Screen so low that their punter's
down, kicking
like, it
the
literally
shit into
blocks the punter.
It is the big, like, so we've been to Dallas Stadium, AT&T Stadium. It is a very big Jumbotron, the most jumbo of Jumbotrons. I think it was the record as the biggest screen in the world for a while. But anyway, they got no one to blame themselves, right? Yeah, nah.
100%. And Jerry's put all those expectations. He's like, well, I've given you all the money that you want. Fucking Dak, here's your 40 mil. I think Zeke's got a $100 million contract. I think, CD's still on a rookie contract, but Amari's on 20 this year. I think his cap number's 20 this year, 22 next year, something like that. That's a lot of money. And what was dictated as the strength of, like, it's just always been assumed that the offensive line of the Cowboys is the best in the league, but it's problematic. And all there's a lot of, it's expensive. So now when you let yourself down like that, when you smash teams in the East, but you are barely 5-5 outside the East, and then you only put up 17 points in your home playoff game with that much money and that much talent, like, yeah, you don't have anyone to blame. You can do whatever you want on that last play. And should the umpire have been closer to the play? Should we have just been able to do it? Whatever. But you put up 17 points. Let's go back to that fucking Raiders comment, mate. Put up more points, win the fucking game.
Yep.
So, yeah, they have no one to blame but themselves. The funny thing is, there was a couple of games earlier in the season where they proper shit the bed. There's a couple of games of, like, really bad. I made a joke about it on the NFL Australia Facebook, about the clock management. Like, how do I show them my mastery of clock management coming from Mike McCarthy? And there's a couple of those where he's let points on the field throughout the season that have led to losses. If they became wins, they would have played the Eagles at home and kicked the shit out of us.
Yep.
Right? So they've got no one to blame but for finishing lower and playing a stronger team in the Niners. And getting, see you later.
I just couldn't believe that last. So people are going to focus on that last 14 seconds. Also, don't put yourself in the position that last 14 seconds.
Exactly.
But to run that far is A, very stupid, and B, like, completely just, it's one of those things where they point out, it's like the sign of an undisciplined team where you just don't know what the fuck is going on. And it's like, all right, well, we need to now give the ball to the ref. And it's like, oh, I'm going to give the ball to my center. It's like, what are you doing? Get out. Also, you're not getting back to the line. Why are you so slow? What are you fucking doing? It was so ridiculous. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I'm like talking about they've got no one to blame but themselves. The penalties killed them time and time again. And then just not having like the wherewithal and like the IQ, the game IQ right at the end, is just to know exactly what to do. Like, Romo's losing his shit going, well, this is what you got to do. What are you doing, you fucking idiots? And they blew it. So
I've watched, I reckon, in the last 24 hours, like going back and watching, you know, a whole bunch of, morning NFL and a whole bunch of interviews. Besides the fact that I just watched Stephen A. Smith today to just laugh his ass off at Michael Irvin, who a couple of weeks ago had said to Cowboys fans to start preparing to buy their Super Bowl tickets. watching every, I guess, commentator, analyst, who's an ex-NFL player, has all said the same thing. Situational football.
Yep.
Right? It's not that you can make that play. It's do you need to make that play and do you have time? And I think it was Orlovsky was talking about the fact that in any coach and any ex-player that he's spoken about, any ex-quarterback, you would not run that play under 16 to 18 seconds. Mm-hmm. Right? No, you just wouldn't. And if you would, you would go down early because... Yep. You're going to take a couple of shots.
You got to leave yourself enough time to have two shots rather than just like one, right? And it's just, it was dumb. Anyway.
Yes, they have themselves to blame. Moving on. Big Ben should have retired a couple of years back. His noodle-dick arm hasn't helped him. And was that the worst we've seen a former awesome quarterback be cooked? Is that the worst way to go and to end out your career, Jimmy? Yeah, nah.
This is it. Like, I thought this was interesting. Like, I reckon he should have retired a year or two ago. Easy. You think about, like, the Steelers from last year, right, where they just rip off the world's most fake-ass 11-zip start ever. But, I mean, the weird years where they're sort of Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph sort of combos and all that sort of shit. Like, it's just hilarious. And so at that point where you're like, oh, well, we don't really have a replacement. It's like, fuck it. You just guys don't have a plan, do you? You just got no plan. This year, though, like, I reckon it was easily the saddest I think I've seen a former, like, QB, like a Super Bowl winning QB who was easily, like, he's easily a Hall of Famer. It's just, it was, like, brutally sad, right? Like, this, it's one of those things where Drew Brees was pretty sad towards the end. Peyton Manning was pretty sad towards the end. Drew Bledsoe, Favre, Eli, even Phil Rivers. Like, when it goes, and it sucks. I'm also, like, Dan Marino. Like, if you think about, like, the late 90s for Marino, and then you had Kurt Warner. Like, dudes like that, when it goes, and it's like, oof, this sucks.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of those dudes sort of still knew their limitations. Big Ben. Well,
Look at Breeze. He was still, like, we were like, fuck, if he, that arm, that shoulder, it literally, the whole season, it looked like he couldn't throw more than fucking 6 yards to Kamara. And then he was putting up 300-yard games because Kamara just run through everyone.
Yeah, I mean, that was the same.
But at least he knew his extent.
That was the same with Peyton Manning, right? For Peyton Manning for the Super Bowl season when he with the Broncos
he managed
retired.
The defense. Like, it was the defense, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like you can sort of just do enough to get by, and Big Ben couldn't even do that. It was like check down or I'm gonna sail a fucking throw. Like, there's no in between. And then, like, people go, oh, well, you know, one every couple of throws, he nails a great throw. It's like, it's not one every couple of throws. It's like one out of every six is like a good one. And it's like one out of every 20 is like a fucking gnarly throw. It's like, that's not good enough. Like,
nah,
it's just too much. Like, just the control of the game, like, as you saw it at the end of the KC first half, it's like, you just need to get a first down. Keep, you know, control the clock. Just that little, you can't do it. You can't do it if you're checking down or just not knowing where the fuck to go, getting hit, almost fumbling the ball, you know, as I said, pump faking your own running back. Like, what the fuck? But I reckon that's probably... It's got to be like top two or three of like the most cooked of QBs you've ever seen.
It was very much fell off a cliff in a way that they clearly didn't plan for or didn't expect, right? Like, it was kind of the conversation last year. Like, it was the last time around the merry-go-round last year.
Yeah.
Right? The conversation was, they're throwing everything at this season. They know, look, his cap number was supposed to be 40 mil this year and he's very fucking much not worth it. So, you know, they reworked that because literally they had no options. What? They got fucking Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck? So they went out, and I think obviously the perception was with that defense, with TJ Watt, combined with getting Najee in the draft, who was always going to be a fucking gun, and then you've got Juju and Claypool and that sort of, you know, that would be enough to be competitive, but there was too much on his arm, and it just...
And their O-line stunk as well, like, all year. Yeah. So it's like that was probably more problematic almost than Ben, just because it didn't give, like, Najee enough time or like room to do anything. So, and then you add that to Ben as well. It's like, yeah, it's a shit show. And that's why you get bundled out 42-21. So sucked in.
Yep.
I'm not going to cry any tears for the Pittsburgh fans. And then finally, NFC losers. Gaz, should the Cards just fuck off Cliff Kingsbury at this point? Have we seen enough of like, oh, let's be really good to start off a season and then fail just dismally down the stretch? What do you reckon? Yeah, nah?
There's enough there that you're like, oh, come on, mate. You just got to put that other bit together. Right? It's just like, it's the same as what I saw in Nicky Sriracha and Jalen Hurts this season, where I'm like, can we just get in a coach and a quarterback for the first half? Can we just like not let him start until, can we do that with Cliff? Can we just like get him to coach for the first half and then bring in someone else?
It's my idea of platooning QBs. Yeah. You can platoon fucking coaches as well. Let's go.
That's it. The second half, right? Because it all just falls apart. And it wasn't like last year, you know, the health went down. And obviously, you know, Hopkins didn't help. Connor going down when he, like, spending some time off. But he came back. They picked up Ertz, which we thought was a bit of a top-up. But he got, I think it was like one catch for 5 yards or something crazy today as one of Kyler's favorite targets. I just don't know. Like, I don't know how you can necessarily blame the QB because, the coach, because Kyler seemed skittish. Apart from that Cowboys game where they grinded it out, the last month he just seemed not the same guy that was the first 6-8 weeks of the season. Don't know, man. I'd be giving Cliff another go round, but fuck, because what are you going to do? Bring in another system and then just pull it apart?
It's a really good question. That's why I enjoyed putting this one to you, because it's like, I can probably go one more year, but I mean, this is also the team that pulled the pin on, who was their 11th pick? Their QB, Josh Rosen, right? And they just pulled the pin on him after a year. Just like, fuck it, we'll just go and get
because
Cliff.
Kyler was coming out and we knew what we wanted out of him, right?
That's it. All right.
Can't say they've made a poor decision because Rosen hasn't exactly fucking...
hasn't proven them wrong.
Done a Ryan Tannehill, right?
Yeah. Speaking of guys who have moved on to better positions, good bloke of the week, the bloke we're going to buy a beer this week. I got a couple here. Fitzy. Good to see Ryan Fitzgerald out there. He's played for literally...
I fucking thought it was fake when I first saw this. It's just some guy with a fucking
beard, exactly enough. It was Fitzy. He's played for roughly every team, but it turns out... And he is obviously still employed and paid by a current NFL team, the Washington football team.
Yeah.
But he's still a Bills fan. Just fucking loves the Bills. He's out there shirtless in that cold, big old beard with a couple of fucking rapscallion-looking idiot kids just fucking losing his mind
fucking
in the crowd.
Fucking loving it, mate.
I loved it. He loved it. It's good to see him. I just think he's the greatest. I hope he's feeling all right. That was a hip injury this year, wasn't it? Yeah, fuck
that.
And, of course, the second one's going to go to the Fakasha, Rich Bakashas, because the story came out today that he was out there writing a handwritten note to every player on the roster, thanking them and just making a nice little personalization on the year. What a fucking legend. That is nice. That's something just like either an absolute psycho does or just someone really not. They're not mutually exclusive, don't get me wrong. You can be an absolute psycho and still be nice. But I thought that was kind of a nice touch. And it's also like one of those things that you would 100% do if you want to try to convince ownership that you're a legend and to keep me in the head job, please. I just want to stay. Can I still be the head coach, please? That'd be good.
The head job.
Who doesn't love the head job? So the Fakasha, good on him. That was nice. And you want to buy him a beer because it's been a rough year and he sort of navigated them to the playoffs and put up a good fight, and they just sort of came a little bit short at the end. So what a legend on you, Rich.
Yeah. All right, the first one for me is I'm going to give it to Zach Taylor taking the time after the game to go around the Cincinnati dive bars. So, and make speeches and give fucking game balls out to...
Well, he promised one of the bars that he'd do it, and he fucking backed it up and did the fucking thing. That's awesome.
The fucking weird... I'm a big... when I started getting into... podcasts and all that sort of stuff. I'm a big fan of the Around the NFL podcast. And obviously one of the big things from last year is a pretty popular podcast. If you don't know it, most people do. Chris Wessling passed away last year from cancer, and he was a big Bengals fan. So that it was ironic that 31 years later, after a big, and this is, he used to go around, like go around to the Cincinnati bars and fucking love the dive bars. So there was a big thing on it. If you haven't listened to this week's episode, check it out. But they found it fitting that Zach Taylor went around and did that. So that was perfect. The other one for me, he's fucking great. Donna Kelce. Mama Kelce. Fucking this week, fucking got her frequent flyer miles up and took changes of clothes to make sure she fit in the colours. But was but did the hard yards and made it to the early game Sunday over there to Tampa to see Jason Kelce play centre for the Eagles. Then, as soon as that game was over, straight to the airport, jumped on a plane to KC to see Travis play the late game. So, travelled across the country, saw both kids play. That's fucking much respect to Donna Kelce. I'd buy her a fucking beer.
Fuck yeah, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, you'd want to, wouldn't you? And if you can, yeah. I mean, especially with KC in the late game, it's like, shit, yeah, let's do this fucking thing.
What, also, what there's, like, a, there's a...
Florida to Missouri's not, like, wildly massive, so, what, 2 hours?
There's a big chance, it's probably sitting 50-50 that may be Jason Kelce's last game.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, well, he's fucking, like, he was... gonna retire, but he was an all pro this year, so we're all going, just one more, mate, just one more time around the block, please.
Nice. Old mate no mates. Jerome Boga and that officiating crew on Sunday morning our time, Saturday night over in the States. That was so Raiders Bengals. If you were watching it like everybody else, no doubt you were probably like, what the fuck is up with these refs? Because it was horrible. Like, it wasn't the fucking inadvertent whistle that they then just gave the touchdown to the Bengals anyway. There were so many weird fucky things in that game where it's like, what is happening? Like, they'd be reviewing shit for like minutes on end. You're like, guys, just fucking do it. And then there was at one point, it's like, oh, well, we've sent that to New York. It's like, wait, you can just do that? Why don't you just do that all the time? Because you guys are fucking useless. This is incredible. And, yeah, basically they spent that entire time getting roasted on the internet to the point where it's like even the NFL is like, oh, nah, the whistle was after the play. Fuck, we're just going to have to wear this one. And then took them off any other games. Yeah, like, it's no like
more,
they're done. They're
no
done.
More playoff games.
They're done for the NFL playoffs. It's like, yeah, good.
That's, I think one of they were one of the ones, oh, I could be corrected here on the socials, but I think they're one of the ones that was kind of a hobbled together crew that's like, oh, nah, you deserve a playoff game. And you deserve. But whereas the other crews are, they've been playing and understanding each other the whole fucking year, right? And it's like, oh, you never get a playoff game. We'll give you one.
I think.
Really, though?
I think what can be like summed up about that one, the inadvertent whistle happens with the 60-plus-year-old fucking ref. I feel like he was whistling Joey B for out of bounds when he's like a fucking meter still in bounds and throwing the ball, right? Like, you watch it in game speed, it's maybe not a meter, it's like maybe a yard. It's like, he's throwing the ball, he's very clearly in bounds, and the split, like the camera shot of him, he's like looking up very clearly at Joey B. It's like, so why did you think he, what are you doing? Like, it made no fucking sense. In the moment, and if you look at it on reflection, still no fucking sense. No. It was a shit show, and Boga's just like a train wreck. So it's always a train. Like, if when people know your name as a ref, I think that's just a bad thing. Like, there's no one who's a good ref. They're like, oh, nah, he's really good. That's why I remember his name. Oh, one of the best ones. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, Ed Hocules was because he was like 65 and ripped as fuck, right?
It's unless you're a novelty, where it's like,
yeah,
100%. Another old mate, Tracy Wolfson. I love this one. This was great because apparently Joey Bosa was just, he was continually being evaluated for concussion. And then later, officially, Joey Bosa was out of the game, guys, which is pretty remarkable considering he wasn't in the playoffs and was probably at home watching his brother Nick play for the Niners. And no one told Tracy Wolfson. That was a rough one. Because it didn't. It happened the first time, and she said the name a couple of times, and no one in the booth said anything. No one in the production truck said,
"Tracy, it's actually it's Nick Bosa that we're talking about here today. Joey Bosa's on the other team. So change that."
Nope, came back out to give an update on Joey Bosa, and
ouch,
not great. And of course, oh mate, no mates, AT&T Stadium. Because I don't know about you, Gaz, but if I was to spend billions of dollars building like a giant testament to how tiny my penis is, I would make sure that, like, if I built it with an east-west perspective, I have a house that has north-south, but basically because of where the sun sets in the west, it means it's great for my backyard. It's fantastic. I also wouldn't be out there making sure that, like, the squid and I were playing football at the exact moment that the sun is exactly in our backyard, in our eyes, which is exactly what Jerry Jones has done. So just a fantastic, like, you can't get some fucking blinds for that fucking place. Like, how big would the blinds have to be? Anyway, that was ridiculous. You absolute morons, Cowboys.
Ha! Ah, that's fantastic. I love that I'm not just the only one.
I couldn't believe it. Like, there was so, what was it, like, three throws or whatever? It's just like, pretty sure he just lost that in the fucking sun.
Literally, like, an important third down catch that was clearly not the defender. It was the sun in the Cowboys receiver's eyes. Anyway, I can't go past. I know I've been talking about this for fucking, days since it happened. But how can you go past Mike McCarthy? The quarterback draw with 14 seconds to go. Now, Jimmy, tell you this. It's come out and been reported, because one of the big questions was, no one's really sure, because Kellen Moore is supposedly this wunderkind fucking next generation of coach. He's been asked to be interviewed. So is he behind the strategic game plan of the Cowboys? Or Mike McCarthy, who's won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, is he the one calling? So no one wanted to kind of put their hand up and admit it was the right call. If you listen to Mike McCarthy's fucking his interview, it was the right call, and kind of once again blaming the refs. But history, Jimmy, you know, if it looks like a duck and sounds like a duck, and I don't know what ducks smell like, but if it smelt like a duck, it's probably a fucking duck, Jimmy. And history of not calling timeouts when you've got the ball at, you know, middle of the field before halftime, and just letting the clock run out and getting down to the important... What is it? 2 weeks ago, Jimmy, it went 10 seconds before the two-minute warning when there was a fumble and he didn't have a timeout left to call it against the Cardinals. There's a history here of fucking up clock management. Does anyone really doubt that Mike McCarthy had a fucking hand in that? So,
I mean, well, to double down on your duck point, though, he is built like Pluck-A-Duck. So
he is built like a chicken or a cow.
Spot the difference. Like, come on. But there is also the classic. Was it the Cowboys this weekend that had the fake punt that worked?
Yeah, it definitely was.
And then
it was like, oh, shit, now they're fucking leaving it all on the field.
And then they left the punt team out there and got a delay of game penalty.
Yeah.
Because were they running another fake? They had a first down. Why? What was going on? It made no fucking sense. It's like, oh, well, we're going to do another fake punt. It's like, but you're not punting because it's a first down, you fucking idiots. What is happening here? Yeah,
with
Mike McCarthy.
All that experience and all that professionalism. 14. This is the end of the season, Jimmy. They're the sort of shit that you see in week one where you're like, we have it all kind of played.
We're ironing
out
the kinks.
Yeah, 14 penalties for 85 yards or whatever the fuck it was in a playoff game. And it wasn't just the number of penalties. It's where they were and what they were. And the same thing happened against Arizona last time. It was, you know, holding calls that stopped first downs. It was giving first downs from, you know, offside or encroachment. It's those sort of things. And you're like, mate, Mike McCarthy, what the fuck are you doing? If I was Jerry Jones and I had that much money and an expectation of this is our year because Gallup's gone, Coop's got it, they got to do something with his contract, Zeke's about to fall off a cliff, that offensive line is getting older, yada, 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 I'd be fucking, come on, son, what are we going to do?
He did also keep Jason Garrett employed for 10 years, though, so
That is correct.
All right, unpopular opinion of the day. I fucking love the 7 playoff teams. And anyone who doesn't, Gaz, very clearly doesn't love football, because just give me more football. The fact that we got a Monday night playoff game, that was awesome. I loved it. I loved the 2 on the Sunday. I loved the 3 on the Monday. And then a fucking Monday night football game on Tuesday. It's the bit, well, this is all Australia time, obviously. It was great. Like, I don't care that, like, the fact that Pittsburgh made it, whatever, that's beside the point. The fact that, I mean, your beloved Eagles make it through.
Oh, we wouldn't have made it in a regular.
It's like, who gives a shit? Like, the fact that we got to see some of these matchups anyway just made it way more fun. We just got more football. All I want at this point of the year is, this is the perfect amount, I think. After 18 weeks, you're kind of like, I need a little bit of the come down before we, like, and the divisional round is usually the best weekend of football for me in the year. You've heard me yell about this last year. It's the perfect timing. I love it because you get to see essentially the most amount of good teams all at once, right?
Yeah.
So you got 4 games, you got 8 good teams remaining essentially, because as we've seen in the wild card round, yes, you do have some shit teams still.
Yeah.
Some of them turn into shit pumpings, and that's exactly what happened, including to our teams. But divisional round is the best. But 7 teams, I think it just gives us a nice breadth of the NFL. It gives you enough fan bases who get insane about it. That's only a good thing. So if you don't like 7 fucking playoff teams, you can blow it out your ass. The Australian Spotty, a.k.a. the Australian Player Watch, a.k.a. the little Aussie Battler of the Week, is our final remaining Australian.
1 left. Go Niners.
Mitch Wish. So I think we're now Niners fans. Is that how this works? He had a pretty good game against the Cowboys too. 4 punts, 179 yards, average of 45 basically. 1 touchback, 1 in the 20, long of 48. So pretty good for Mitch Wish. And especially in a game like that where I think field position came in pretty fucking handy a bunch of times. Like,
Sorry, Kev, you got the stat there. How many times did he hit the big screen? Have you got that on the list?
I think that was
Is that
none.
There somewhere? So, none. Oh, okay, cool.
Lucky. Yep, sweet. But yeah, so obviously with your Eagles being bundled out, that meant a bunch of the other Aussies sort of went out too, and a bit of a tough
2
one.
2 for 1 in that.
And I feel like that might have been the last of them as well. So, Mitch Wish by himself out there crushing it and holding all our dreams.
Get in there, sir.
All right, but what about Outback Takehouse? Gaz, it's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, mate, it's 2 for 1 blooming onions. That's right. No one knows what the fuck these things are. Apparently, it's a bunch of fucking Yanks throwing some onions into a deep fryer because they're fat bastards and deciding to deep fry it and make it look like a flower? Question mark? What the fuck is this thing? All we do in Australia with a fucking onion is chuck it on the barbie, cook it till it's as black as a dog's guts, and then you bang it on a saucy. And that's all it is. Either way, 2 for 1 blooming onions. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott very clearly threw the end of that game on purpose to get Mike McCarthy fired. Only at Outback. I got a bonus one there as well, Gaz. 100% the Chiefs were lying about their fireworks. They're understocking the fireworks, at least, just to have the message out there on the big board as a bit.
Yep.
The we've run out of fireworks. Take it to your nearest, like, friendly services booth thing. It's a bit, because they did it 2 years ago. They did it against the Texans when they scored 51 points. So we've seen this before. I'm on to you there, Chiefs. This is just, we're trying to be viral. That's how much we've kicked the fuck out of this team. It's like, you're trying to be a bit cute. Like, I think it's kind of funny. Like, good on them. We've scored so many times we've run out of fireworks. It's America. You can never run out of fireworks.
And if you weren't the Chiefs in the last 3 years who have regularly put up a 40 burger on someone,
and you're playing the Steelers, just send the fucking work experience kid down to fucking Walmart, get some more and come back. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, guys, there's supply chain issues due to COVID. Now, I've spent fucking 18 weeks of a regular season thinking, Jesus Christ, what drugs? He's just trying to fill a gap. Most of these Outback Takehouses, I'm just like, there's no chance. It's just ridiculous, Jimmy. I fucking fully agree with your first. I reckon this is the first time ever. I'm going to go back through all of them and see if this is actually one that I agree with. Kellen Moore and Dak did throw Mike McCarthy under the bus because the rumor is within 24 hours, they're already asking Stephen Jones and fucking Jerry Jones, because the rumor's coming out that Jerry knew that four or five teams have asked for Kellen to be to allow to interview for head coaching positions, and he doesn't want to lose the Wunderkind,
yep.
And is quite happy to let Mike McCarthy go. So fucking see you later. This is the ammunition he needed.
Yeah, I kind of love it. All right, let's preview next week though, real quick before this is getting long. Let's do this fucking thing.
I know it has.
All right, divisional round preview and picks brought to you by thedailyliquor.com. Oh, Gaz, I tell you what, it's been pretty lovely weather around here. You got Australia Day coming up as well. You got tennis on the telly. You got plenty of football. You got basketball coming out the wazoo. What better way to celebrate? Go hang out with some mates in a park. Don't get the rones by going to the bottle-o. Bring the bottle-o to you with thedailyliquor.com. If you're in the Melbourne metro area, you get same-day delivery if you order before noon. And if you bang in the code STRAYA, you get a free six-pack of the Dos Blocos XPA on your mates Gaz and Jimmy. They got wines, cocktails, and beers coming out the wazoo. Go check them out, thedailyliquor.com. Bring the bottle over to you. They'll drop it off at your house. Rona free. And if you order before noon, you'll get same-day delivery. It's pretty great. Go check it out right now, thedailyliquor.com. Right. First things first, we've still got Saturday night games in the divisional round, which I kind of like because it means that my Sunday's sorted. So I do like that Sundays, when we have Saturday night games...
Whoa. You're skipping an important point here, Jimmy.
I'm going to get to it. Just settle down. So this is what I'm talking about. So we've got Saturday night games. It goes into Sunday our time. Makes me feel great about it. Except when Gaz drags me to the fucking catfish to watch my Patriots... entire season come off the rails at that exact point. That was the tipping point.
That's
and at the same
point,
time,
right?
I feel like the tipping point of my tips may have fallen off a fucking cliff. And
that's what you're
so with it this week, Gaz smashed me for the first time ever, I reckon, with an actual smashing of plus four picks. So I went 2 of 6 on the picks. Gaz went, holy shit, does that mean you went 6 of 6 on the picks? You did. Cincy, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Niners, KC, LA. 6 of 6. That is fucking incredible. Because you're a coward and you went with some of mine as well, but that's all right. but that's all good. Absolute credit to you. The Cincy one was tough. As we were talking about, I fully expected the Raiders to cover by sending that to OT. The Patriots won. Look, I thought if it was going to be that cold, it might impact it a bit more. It did not. And... yeah, I didn't like my Dallas pick. I think you and I talked that one out last show about how much both of us hated that game trying to pick it. And I ended up just going with the home team, which was dumb. I shouldn't have picked Pittsburgh. As we talked about before the program as well, I actually put a lot of money not on Pittsburgh. So I put my money not where my mouth was. Yes. So, and went the exact opposite. So look, more power to you for picking up four picks. I picked up a bunch of money, so I'll live with that one.
Fair enough.
I don't know if I can pull back four on you in the interceding time before the Super Bowl, but we're definitely not with the way that you picked.
We got three different this week,
and
I'm not comfortable with any of them.
All right, let's do it. So Sunday's games, we've got Cincy at the Titans. This is 1 versus 4. This is 8:30 on Sunday morning. It's a pretty good game for 8:30. It's a great color scheme as well, depending on what uniforms they wear. You got the blue versus the orange. It's a really nice one. One big thing for this game, Derrick Henry back, AJ Brown, Julio. Can Tennessee live up to the one seed billing? Or do the Bengals keep on rolling? I feel like the answer to this is Tennessee step up. I think Vrabel's too good of a coach to sort of get into the trap of we've got a week off and now we're going to lose a horrible game. Tennessee have had a couple of weird hiccups this year. I don't think it's this game though. I've picked Tennessee, no. So have you, -3.5.
Yeah.
I think Cincy got their win.
It was a very emotional win. It's 31 years, mate. It's very emotional. Going and celebrating after your first is huge, right? Like, And Dez, there's going to be a lot of emotion and a lot of drive getting Dez Henry back for Tennessee. I think it just could end up a little bit flat, and it could. It's got the chance of being a fucking smashing, to be fair. It could be a grind out first half, and then Dezard just wears out the defense, and then they just hand it to him all the second half, and it could be a blowout. But yeah. let's not get over the top of ourselves. Let's just go with Tennessee and the minus three.
Yeah, I just think they're a solid team, and like we're going to keep underrating them. We have all year, and all they do is like fuck up our expectations. So I'm going to go with Tennessee this time.
Yep.
Nice one. Niners, Green Bay. It's the 1-6 matchup. So the 2-1 seeds play on this Saturday, Sunday our time. This one's at 9:15. Noon Eastern Standard Time. One big thing for this, are San Francisco the worst matchup for Green Bay? And can that unpredictable offense mess with Green Bay's pretty weird, maybe okay, maybe not, defense? Or do Aaron Rodgers and co, after a week off, just fucking steamroll them? What do you reckon? You've gone the Packers. I've gone the Niners plus 5.5.
Yeah, I think...
Explain yourself.
I haven't seen the Niners offense play a complete game, is what it comes down to. I think they'll keep it close. I think the Packers with that rest and they'll come out. And obviously, as you stated at the beginning of the episode, I'm a Packers fan, just because for anyone who missed the last couple of episodes, I went and hung out with the Melbourne Packers fans and they beat the Vikings to get us into the playoffs. So for the rest of this, I've got to at least pay them a little bit of respect. But the Niners defense will you know, keep them honest. But I just, you know, the Packers defense has been good enough that I think that I think they'll wear them down. Jimmy G's going to be Jimmy G at some point. Let's be honest. I think Debo is one of the craziest fucking weapons in the offense right now. In the NFL. He's like a fucking cannonball with speed who can catch and run routes. It's out of control. But I just think the Packers are just going to outlast them.
I just think the Niners muck up games like this and keep them close, so I'm taking the 5.5. Like
5.5 points.
Like I think it's like a 27-24 game where the Packers just sort of hold on or something. And
I think it is. You're right. It is kind of probably the worst. It's all good teams left, as you mentioned before, but it's not a fucking great matchup for Green Bay.
Nope. I mean, that's what I'm sort of building on. Like, it was similar for the Cowboys, right? Like, the Niners are the sort of the team that the Packers, the Cowboys, probably don't want to play. Whereas the Niners, if they played the Bucs, I felt like the Bucs would be like, actually, I reckon we can beat them. And same goes to the Rams. So,
yeah.
Well, actually, not the Rams, because they can never beat the Niners. Sucked in. I just think it's a bad matchup for Green Bay. So I'm going to go the Niners.
Yep.
I'll take my points. Rams, Bucs. Speaking of which, that's Monday, 7 a.m. We've actually got... There's no sun waiting all day for Sunday night. Proper game. We've got 7 a.m. We've got 10:30 a.m. for these two. Rams, Bucks. One big thing for this, Tampa Bay just love beating the Rams, don't they? Fucking love it. Do they have enough, though, with all their injuries? You saw it this week. They got past the Eagles. But does this Rams D, you saw it today, just absolutely fucking discombobulate the Cards? Do they ruin the Bucks, and can Stafford give them enough on O to make it all the way to another championship game? What do you reckon? You've gone the Bucks. I've gone the Rams, because it's Rams plus three.
Yeah, look, this is one of those ones. This is one of the games that I fucking hated, because both teams kicked the shit out of their opponents this week. Both teams have got weapons. Both teams have got star quarterbacks. Evans, I think, you know, Evans will take... If Ramsey takes Evans, then they'll just find him moving around. The Ramsey's more likely to follow, but you've got Gronk. Then on the other side, Cooper Kupp and OBJ were fucking great today when they didn't need to go over the top, right? It was like that 50 yards each they put up.
Yep.
Both have got a lot of weapons. This is definitely a 50-50 game. I literally went, this is one of those home team ones that I'm just going, ah, fuck it. I'm going to go those 3 points, because this is literally a coin flip. I've got no idea.
Yeah, I've gone the Rams, because I think after watching that Rams D today, I just sort of trust that a little bit more to sort of travel, get to Tampa Bay, and just actually, like, specifically, that's how you beat Tom Brady. Just, like, get to him a little bit, hassle him, and that's what the Rams are built for, right? Like, we haven't seen it that much when they've played.
Von Miller today was out of control.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
So that combo of he and Donald, I mean, I feel like they can sort of pull it together, and I just can't quite see McVay not dialing up just some insane shit for this game just to take it to the top of the bay. So, yeah, I've gone the Rams. And final one. This is an absolute fuck. This is like football fucking just manna from heaven, isn't it? KC hosting Buffalo. What a game. Will this be it's the greatest crazy. Game ever? That's the biggest one big thing. But also, which Josh Allen Bills team rocks up? Is it the one who just kicked the fuck out of the Pats? Is it the one that lost to Jacksonville earlier this year?
Yeah.
Or, can KC's offensive pressure that Bills defense enough that it sort of falls apart? It's a thing that happens with the Bills sometimes. So you've gone the Bills. I've gone KC -2.5. I've gone with the home team. I don't like it because this sort of goes against I feel like I might have picked the Bills to make the fucking Super Bowl at the start of the year, but staring at it, I can see where the Bills pick comes in. Like, I feel like this could be the game script.
Right in the high end.
It's like it gets a bit weird. The Bills just play the fucking another game out of their ass and like KC just falls apart and we all go, well, the writing was there all season. Like, how did we not see that one coming? They were really inconsistent. At the same time, they really just fucking, when they had the chance to put the boot into Pittsburgh, they really did. And I kind of loved it. So, and I reckon the Bills, this might be like their sort of bugbear team, right? Like, it's just like, oh man, we could just never get fucking past KC. Like, this should be our time. And they come back next year hungry and whatever and actually go out and win. It's tricky though, isn't it?
Yeah. Once again, you know, once you get to this time of the year and it's a coin flip. Like, they've both, once again, the exact same problem we had in the last game, both have just come out and kicked the shit out of their opponents. How much stock do you put in those results? I mean, you can't really, do you take anything away from what KC did to the Steelers?
Probably like, not.
Yeah, exactly, right? So look, you have to go on past, you know, travel, and KC have kept it close, whereas I don't know. I've just got this vibe on the Bills this year. They were that step behind last year, and here we go. But it's playoffs. KC are on their way to, what, 3 in a row in terms of Super Bowls?
Not many teams get to do that, Gaz, and I reckon they'll be hungry for it. So
Yes.
In terms of, like, the actual, I don't know, the way that this sort of matchup works, I just trust KC just a little bit more maybe than the Bills at the moment. Just like, because I've seen it before, they're at home, and that's why -2.5 I feel all right with. How about the over-under of 54.5? What do you reckon? Do we get a mess?
Jesus.
I feel like this is one of those games where, oh, it's going to be one of those great offensive showdowns, and then suddenly it's like 17-10, and everyone's like, what the fuck just happened? 2017 or something. So I'd always think about the under in that one, but of course I might be wildly proven wrong. All right, well, there we go. I might be able to pull a few back this week. Let's see how we go. Three different. I'm going to make up a few, so here we go. Either way, that's it. Gaz, we got there. The wild card round. That was awesome. What a wicked week of football it was. And this is why when people go, oh, man, 7 playoff teams is too many, you should tell them to fuck off. So all done. We're going to wrap up the divisional round for you next week. Obviously, no Pats stray or Eagles stray this week, unfortunately, because our teams got knocked out. But either way, we are weekly with this dumb shittery. And, of course, next season, Eagles Strayer and Pat Strayer will be a weekly addition to the show. So keep your eyes and ears out for that sort of stuff. It'll be in the podcast feed. It'll be videos on the faces as well and their standalone faces. So chuck Eagles Strayer follow on the old facey tweets. Off you go, IG.
There's a YouTube channel now. I've whacked them up on the YouTubes.
Skadoosh.
So
love it.
Go and have a look. Me just sitting there ranting. Won't be one for a couple of weeks, but I think, I assume that you're going to do the same, Jimmy. Give it a couple of weeks
off
to get through
stuff,
the pain and may do in like a bit of a season wrap of our teams.
Yeah.
And then talk for 15, 20 minutes. I've already got one of our fan base, like one of the boys putting together some, obviously with those 3 first round picks, putting up a bit of a draft board.
Nice.
On offense and defense for the Eagles for us to talk through. So, yeah, it's going to be a bit of fun doing a little bit more team-specific content.
Good stuff. So, make sure you're following all the NFL Australia and all the other Australia podcasts, Facey, Twitter, IG.
It's almost NBA a Australia. Network, Jimmy.
It is. World Wrestling Australia and NBA Australia. Off we go. Check us a rating review on your podcast app. Big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go check out their gear on the old Apple Music, Spotify, heavy listening to tunes. Smash the dailylicker.com, use the code Strayer, get a free sixer. Go to manscaped.com, get 20% off with the code Strayer as well. And of course, don't forget NBA Strayer, where you can find me every bloody day. Every day I'm just there, just hanging out, talking shit.
Fuck.
Gaz, you got any plugs?
Yeah, well, we're now under 4 weeks to under a month to the Super Bowl, mate. So I went and caught up with the boys from Catfish in Fitzroy in Melbourne, if you're in Melbourne. And we're working on a plan to do something similar as last year. So because of the COVID restrictions, we're limiting tickets again. Well, they're limiting tickets. So they'll be going on sale in the next few days. The website will be up. So if you don't follow us on Facebook particularly, jump on. We'll be posting an event. You'll get to know. Last year, the tickets went in about a day and a half because they're limited to about 100. But we also will be giving away some tickets to, I don't know, we'll work out a way to fucking do it. And maybe we'll do a live stream or something on the day.
Checks out.
There you go.
I love it. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, can't wait either. Should we just like, oh, yeah. This is the best Valentine's Day ever? I'm like, yeah, ever. I'm not around. gnarly. All right. Well, there you go. Our teams are being knocked out, but we're still here. It's what we do.
We still managed to talk for over an hour and a half.
Tell you what, just fucking love football. Right, we'll catch you next week, you dickheads. We'll wrap up some divisional round for you.
See yas.
Later, is it? Broken.